Well, I understand that here in Kallanga, you've been working through a series called Finding the Perfect Life, or The Perfect Life, and you're addressing matters which are to do with life. And so this evening, the matter that I want to address, which is the life matter which I want to address, is the matter of hope, or finding real hope, which is the subject of the talk this evening. Hope is really important in life, isn't it? We all need real hope. But the reality is that we face challenges to hope, don't we? So many things are a threat to hope. Each one of us, for example, faces present-day challenges. Whether it's sickness or difficulty finding a job or pressures at work or problems in the family or a relationship breakdown or the loss of a loved one, we all face challenges in everyday life. And those challenges can weigh us down. We can just feel like we're never going to get on top of them. We lose the sense of hope. Present-day challenges can lead to a sense of hopelessness. But then also past wrongs can lead to a sense of hopelessness. Sometimes we can't cope with what's ahead because of what's happened to us in the past. Everybody struggles with things that they've done, don't they? Things that they've done in the past, and if we don't know how to handle that, sometimes that can lead to hopelessness. The Bible talks about a guy that you're probably familiar with, Judas. Judas was the guy who betrayed Jesus. Jesus had been a really good friend to him. He'd never done anything to deserve mistreatment from Judas. But in the end, Judas betrayed Jesus to the authorities, who were jealous of him, and the authorities took him away and unjustly condemned him and put him to death. And so, as you can imagine, at the end of all of that, Judas isn't feeling that great about himself. Judas knows that he's done the wrong thing, and Judas knows that what he's done has had a terrible, terrible consequence. And ultimately, he simply cannot cope with the burden of his guilt, and he loses all hope, and his life comes to a tragic, tragic end. And so, friends, knowing how to cope with our past is important. We may not feel as if our situation is quite as dire as Judas's was, but you've got to understand that your hope cannot be separated from your past. So many people limp along in life because there are things in their past, there are things that they've done wrong, there's a guilt that they carry that they simply have not resolved, and you have to have some way of resolving that guilt if you're going to be able to move forward in hope. Often the threat to hope comes from our past. But then also another threat to hope is future fears. Now, there's a lot that you could say on the subject of fear, and I imagine that probably you will deal with the topic of worry sometimes as a topic in and of itself. But for the moment, let me just comment on the most serious future fear that you can have, which is the fear of death. Of course, there's no greater fear that we can have than the fear of death. Of course, 10 out of 10 of us, unless Jesus comes again anytime soon, 10 out of 10 of us are going to die. And so this is a real challenge which faces us. And because of that, many older people really do struggle with this. Of course, many younger people struggle with this also. But the statistics for depression are actually higher in older people, and one of the reasons for that is because as people get older, often they start to fear death more. And so that can lead to a sense of hopelessness. People are afraid of the future, that they know they're going to die, and they know that they cannot stop that, and so they end up feeling hopeless. And so all of these things can lead to a sense of hopelessness. Past, present or future can lead to a sense of hopelessness. And often it's not just one or the other. Often it's a mix of these things, and we just end up feeling as if we've got no hope. And so how then do we find real hope? That's an important question, isn't it? Because what we don't want is false hope. We don't want some kind of wishful thinking hope. Often when people talk about hope today, what they really mean is that there's something that they wish would happen, but they don't really have any kind of confidence that it will happen. People say, I hope it doesn't rain on the day of my party, but they don't have any real confidence that it won't rain, or I hope the Broncos win, but you can't have any real confidence that they'll win. Something like that. It's just something that they wish for. But the truth is, we want more than that, don't we? We want a hope that is more solid than that. We don't just want wishful thinking hope. And so how can we find that kind of hope? How can we find real hope? Well, the Bible teaches that you and I can find that kind of hope in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, God has done something which acts as a kind of guarantee. God has done something in Jesus Christ which acts as a kind of statement, a kind of guarantee, a kind of reassurance that there is real hope. It's not just wishful thinking hope, but real hope for all those who will put their trust in Him. And that guarantee, that statement of real hope is the resurrection. Jesus' resurrection gives real hope. No other event in world history spells hope like the resurrection. In that passage we read earlier, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says there, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." What that's saying is that through Jesus' resurrection, there is real hope. It's described there as a living hope. It's not a dead hope. It's not a wishful thinking hope. It's a living hope. It's a real hope. And that is true even today. The resurrection means hope for you today if you have put your trust in Jesus. Let me explain that to you. If you have put your trust in Jesus, you have real hope for the past. You may have done wrong things. You may have lied or cheated or committed adultery or blasphemed God's name or stolen or hurt others or whatever it may be. But if you are trusting in a resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, you can know that you are completely and utterly forgiven. Why? Why can you know that? Well, because the resurrection proves that sin has been completely paid for. When Jesus died on the cross, he died to pay for sin. On the cross, Jesus died in my place. He suffered the judgment of God for my sin on the cross. And so when Jesus rises from the dead, what does that say about my sin? Well, what that says about my sin is that it has been completely and utterly paid for. Jesus is not still suffering in the grave for my sin. No, Jesus is alive. Jesus has finished paying for my sins. This is why Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us that if Jesus was still in the grave, our sins wouldn't be paid for. He says there, 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ is not risen, then your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. What he's saying is that if Christ didn't rise from the dead, then sin hasn't been paid for. Christ's resurrection was really, really important because it proved that sin had been paid for. It's a little bit like when somebody goes to jail. When can they actually say, having gone to jail, that the penalty for their crime is complete? When do you know that the penalty for their crime is complete? Well, you know that the penalty for their crime is complete, that it's been paid for, when they get out of jail. When that person walks free, they can say the penalty has been paid in full. No judge can hold this matter against me. And it is the same with Christ. How do I know that the penalty for my sin has been paid in full? Well, how do I know that there's nothing more to pay? Well, I know that because Christ is no longer in the grave. Christ went to the grave for my sin, and he is no longer in the grave. He's out of jail. The resurrection proves that Jesus has finished paying for my sin. And so because of the resurrection, I have hope as I face the past. I can cope as I face the past because I know that through Jesus, my sin will be completely, or has been completely dealt with. Trusting in Jesus helps a person move on from their past. It gives real hope for the past. And the resurrection also, secondly, gives real hope for the future. We talked earlier about the greatest future danger that we have, which is death. And so let me just deal with that now. In the resurrection, what you have is Jesus showing that our greatest threat, death, is defeated in him. If we have turned from our sin and if we have put our trust in Jesus, what the Bible teaches is that instead of experiencing eternal death, we will experience eternal life. Remember that passage that we read earlier in 1 Peter, which talks about a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why is Peter there talking about those things at that specific time? Well, the reason why Peter is talking about those things at that time is because the Christians that Peter is talking to at that time are being persecuted. They have friends that have been killed for their faith in Christ, and they themselves are under the threat of death for being Christians. They're worried that they will die soon. And so it's with that in the background that Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." What Peter is saying is that even as you folks face death, even then, you've got to remember you've got hope. Not just a wishful thinking hope, but a living hope, a real hope. Why is it a living hope? Well, it's a living hope because it's based on a living Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, what you have is somebody who has shown himself to be even more powerful than death itself. He's risen from the dead. And so if you're trusting in Jesus, then you can know that you're safe in the face of death. You can know that though you may die, yet you will live. Jesus has the power to do that for you. Jesus said one time when he brought a bloke back from the dead, he said this, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet he will live." Jesus is able to free us from the grave and to give us eternal life. And so if we are trusting in Jesus, we have real hope for the future. And then to finish off, the last thing I want to say is that if we are trusting in Jesus, we can have real hope for the present.
real hope for the present. The resurrection of Jesus Christ gives this. I want to read you a small part from Ephesians. In Ephesians 1, Paul prays that the Christians he's writing to may know the hope of his calling and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he works in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Okay, what he's saying there is that he wants these people to know that God's power is toward them. God is using his mighty, mighty power for their benefit. He's using his power toward them. He's flexing his muscles for their sakes. Now, they can be encouraged by that. Why can they be encouraged by that? Well, they can be encouraged by that because God's power is mighty. It was God's power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And that same power that was at work in Jesus, in raising him from the dead, is at work for them right now. God is a powerful God. He can raise people from the dead. And that same God is working for them right now. That is an amazing promise to have. And that's the promise that all Christians have. The Bible teaches that for all people who turn from their sins and put their trust in Jesus, God's mighty, mighty power is at work for them, even in this life. You know, if Jesus has defeated death for you, do you not think that he's going to help you in everything less than death? Of course he will. The Bible says that he will. God's not going to use his great, great power to raise you from the dead, but then not help you in the far, far lesser issues of life. That's just crazy. Now, that does not mean that Christians will not go through troubles. We do go through troubles. But what it means is that where God allows us to go through troubles, it's always because he has a good purpose for us in that. And what it also means is that he's never going to let us go through something without giving us the power to be able to cope with that. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, God says to one of his people, he says, "My grace is sufficient for you." In other words, what he's saying is, "I am going to help you with this." And that's a promise that all of God's people really, really do have. We have hope even for the present. If Jesus has defeated even death for you, will he not help you with every other lesser matter in your life? He will help us with these things. And so the resurrection gives us hope. It gives us real hope. When the Christian needs hope, he or she can look back to the resurrection and he or she can say, yes, Jesus has risen from the grave. He has beaten sin. I have real hope for my past. And Jesus has risen from the dead. I have life in him. I have real hope for my future. And Jesus has risen from the dead. He has shown his enormous power toward me. I have real hope for the present. There is hope for us in Jesus. And the invitation is for us to put our trust in Jesus that we may know that hope.